I think the way the Indian government works is they would probably want, they can't do both the WHO approved RUTF as well as the current take-home rations that they give to malnutrition children. So they'll have to either replace one with the other. And I think the process of deciding on it, thinking about it, I think that is just, it takes time. It needs to go through a lot of reviews. It's something ultimately that needs to be sanctioned by the central government through a set of guidelines. And I think that process hasn't happened, or fundamentally, the Indian stakeholders within the Indian ecosystem, they remain unconvinced because of the cost of RUTF and RUSF right now.
Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, and professionals who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they're building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, and of course, the little joys of life. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms and directories. For this episode, I'm delighted to have Akshat Khandelwal, founder and CEO, New Flower Foods. New Flower, a made in India company, is making life-saving solutions for people suffering from metabolic diseases like malnutrition, diabetes, and obesity, as well as for SAM, or severe acute malnutrition, children worldwide. Incepted in 2014, New Flower is the fifth largest company making ready-to-use therapeutic food, or what is known as RUTF, focused on combating severe acute malnutrition across the globe. Welcome to Unusual Suspects, Akshat. Delighted to have you on the show.
Delighted to be here, Gaurav.
Akshat, let's start off with a very fundamental and basic question, kind of context setting also for the benefit of our listeners and also my own understanding. Take us back to 2014. It's the kind of the beginning of the mission, you know, when you started New Flower Foods. What sparked your passion? Was there a wow moment that you came across? Was there a specific Eureka moment? Because the kind of business that you are in and the kind of product, it's very specific, very specialized, and also extremely significant for India as a whole, because you're dealing with metabolic diseases and malnutrition. How did this idea come about, and how did you go about setting it? Because it also kind of tells you about a tremendous risk-taking ability. Akshat?
Yes. So back in 2014, Gaurav, what ended up happening was I had two strands of knowledge come my way from different directions. The first strand of thinking and the first outlook that came to me was that most of the problems that humanity as a whole faces when it comes to health are basically these metabolic disorders. Like if today you remove obesity, diabetes, severe malnutrition and cardiovascular disorders, about 90% of our health issues, whether it's in India, whether it's in the United States, whether it's in any country in the world, they'd probably go away. Because the only thing we would be left with are infectious diseases, which are easily treatable because there are always medicines for that. So I was kind of beginning to realize that these metabolic disorders are the bane of humankind. The other strand was that I had a pediatrician family friend of ours who had just, so he was in these circuits, in these pediatric, international pediatric circuits, and he had just visited a few factories in the European Union and the United States, which were making these medical therapies, which we do now, for severely acute malnourished children and famine-afflicted populations. Right. So when I got to know about these therapies, the family friend said that India is a natural place to manufacture such products because all the raw materials are here. India's got great engineering talent. And who knows, tomorrow we could use this in India as well. You know, these kinds of therapies for India's medical ailments as well. So when I got to know about these two strands of knowledge, I kind of ran with the idea. And that is when New Flower was born, right? And I think the first set, like the first product line that we wanted to work on at that point of time was these medical therapies for severely acute malnourished, which is ready-to-use therapeutic foods and ready-to-use supplementary foods, right? And that's how we started. I think what I did at that point of time was I went to my family, I presented to them a business plan. I said, this is what I want to do. Can you support me for like a pilot plant? And they did that. They were very encouraging in that sense. And I think around 2017, we were able to get our first big contract with UNICEF Supply Division. And that's how we, you know, that was our first year of operation. And since then, we've just been on it.
Yeah. You know, Akshat, I just wanted to understand, you were in the business of saving lives, if I may say so, in many ways. But your large part of your, a significant part of your products are actually not sold in India. Is there a specific reason for that? Because India is also, India is also dealing with obesity, diabetes, and severely acute malnourished children. The distress is still also very significant in India, isn't it? Why aren't you selling as much in India as you were selling overseas, Akshat?
So let's talk about malnutrition products for a second, because, you know, when we come to obesity and diabetes, I think it gets very different, right? Like, it's a different market. The people who have obesity, diabetes, they are usually middle and upper middle classes. They have money and so on and so forth. So when it comes to malnutrition, there are two issues with the products that we manufacture. There are two issues in their use in India. The first is that the products that we manufacture, they have a shelf life of 2 years. They're slightly more expensive than the Indian health budgets allow for. So they are perfect for emergency-like conditions. Now, what do I mean when I say emergency-like conditions? I mean, you know, a place like Yemen, a place like Sudan, a place like Ethiopia, a place like Somalia, where there's a literal civil war going and there's entrenched food insecurity. And there are no ways to get, you know, the supply chains are all broken down. There are warlords in the area and so on and so forth, right? So the kind of sort of emergency aid that we make is perfect for such environments. You can actually drop a lot of these RUTF and RUSF products from the sky, as is done by Red Cross and WFP and all these other international organizations. The second reason is that while we've obviously been, we've tried our best to talk to Indian stakeholders who look after the health policy in India for the upliftment of malnutrition people within India. The second reason that we get is that India already has a policy, which is called ICDS, Integrated Child Development Scheme, or something to that end. And they already have a set of nutritional products that they are feeding to children. And I think the way the Indian government works is they would probably want, they can't do both. They can't do both the WHO-approved RUTF as well as the current take-home rations that they give to malnutrition children. So they'll have to either replace one with the other. And I think the process of deciding on it, thinking about it, I think that is just, it takes time. It needs to go through a lot of reviews. It's something ultimately that needs to be sanctioned by the central government through a set of guidelines. And I think that process hasn't happened, or fundamentally, the Indian stakeholders within the Indian ecosystem, they remain unconvinced because of the cost of RUTF and RUSF right now. So that's what I would say is the reason.
If I may say so, yeah. Do you think it would be okay to describe that there are certain regulatory bottlenecks and also a bit of red tape that is preventing our products to be more widely acceptable and sold in India?
Well, I wouldn't call them red tape, because, you know, ultimately when you're making something for severely acute malnourished children, you are dealing with the government, because they themselves don't have much of a purchasing power. So you can't sell much directly to the disadvantaged groups, right? It's the government that will sort of buy from you and then ensure feeding. So I wouldn't say red tape. I think it's the decision making that is slow here, and that in itself is influenced by a lot of factors.
Absolutely. You know, let's change tack a bit. You know, you have a presence in 42 plus countries, and you're making a tangible difference globally. Just share very briefly, can share a couple of inspiring stories from the field and how we ensure that products reach the most vulnerable populations, because availability and supply lines for populations that are targeted is essential for your part of, for your line of business, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it is essential. It is essential. I would say just a few things here. First is that we tend to be the supply chain. So Newflower is like the supply chain partner to organizations like UNICEF Supply Division, World Food Program, Red Cross, Medicines on Frontier, Save the Children, Action Against Hunger, right? And in doing so, we make sure that the product is ready and it's delivered on time to the port. And then they are the ones who will take it to the end users and supervise feeding and ensure the product integrity is not impacted, right? But there are two episodes that I will share with you that did that very much correlate to the geopolitical changes that we've seen in the past 3-4 years. One is when there was a change of government in Afghanistan, when the United States retreated from Afghanistan and the Taliban took over, there was a huge humanitarian crisis. Now, obviously, the Taliban government has a lot of issues with the international community. But whenever there's a humanitarian issue, when you have a shortage of food and a chance of large amounts of people coming on the verge of starvation, there are no sanctions. Everything is facilitated quite smoothly. And at that point of time, I remember our factory was booked suddenly for more than a few months because the demand in Afghanistan at that point of time was so much. And most of it was going through UNICEF, but I think we also supplied through other international organizations. So that is one. The other is that, again, if you've been following the news in terms of what's happening in Africa, there's a low-key civil war happening in Ethiopia over the past 1.5 years in the northern region of Ethiopia. And that has led to a substantial increase in the amount of folks who are severely malnourished or who are facing acute food insecurity. And once, and when that happened, when those episodes happened, I remember our factory was, again, like for a few months, we were only supplying to one destination, right? I would also add that we've supplied to Palestine. And I think some of our competitors, I'm not sure about this, but some of our competitors may have also supplied to Ukraine. So generally, if you look at the places we supply to, it's usually like whenever there's a geopolitical uncertainty that leads to entrenched food insecurity or a lot of fighting on the ground, usually there is an uptake in the demand for emergency aid because all the regular supply chains are impacted. And we kind of step in at that point of time as a supply chain partner.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you are a kind of a true testament of a made in India company with a very significant global reach, also in an area where you're making saving lives, particularly of children, and also in countries that require them the most. So you mentioned Afghanistan, for instance, and places like geographies like that and regions like that actually need a lot of this kind of support that you're bringing to, which brings me to the next question. While you are, you know, how do you navigate the complexities? Because your business is very purpose driven because you're saving lives. At the same time, you are making profits and you are turning in profits and your revenues, top lines are significantly robust at about 130 crore plus for last year. So how do you ensure the two P's, both purpose and profitability? Don't they both sometimes pull in different directions, Akshat?
Well, if you ask me personally, I think every business should be purposeful, right? Because ultimately business, if you really look at the social function of a business or a startup, is to create a good or a service that is socially useful. I got to make something that people require that is solving a real problem in the world. So I think in some ways, every business should be purposeful, right? I would also say that I don't quite accept the dichotomy between being purposeful and socially aware and being profitable and sustainable. I think you can have both of these things in one and the same business. And that's what we've tried to do. And I think we And our success is a testament to that fact.
Absolutely, Akshat. And, you know, you don't, purpose and profits need not necessarily be a zero-sum game. And I think if we fall into a trap of binary analysis, probably we are doing a very suboptimal assessment of the business. That brings me to another question on innovation, because innovation is, of course, the fuel for growth. And also, it also ensures that you know, the prices come down, costs come down for it, for your audience, etc. How are you ensuring that? Because even in the nutrition space, what are some of the plans that you have, and what's cooking inside the Nuflower laboratory, if I may ask so?
Yeah, so we are actually quite excited about this. So one of the things that we've been working on is we are trying to rework the know-how that we've developed from making emergency aid for severely acute malnourished children and famine-afflicted peoples. And we are trying to rework into something for the mainstream consumer market by attacking the problem of weight gain, which is obesity, and diabetes, both of them, which I personally think are interrelated. And what we are right now coming up with in the next 2 to 3 months is a series, rather a suite of products that are low carb and high protein in nature, and they're incredibly tasty. So let me explain the problem statement and how we understood it and how we are working towards a solution. So the way we, so whenever like I would go to the supermarket, or generally the folks here at Nuflower, we would traverse the modern trade stores all around us. One of the things that we would notice in the snack shelf is that everything is just full of sugar and carbs. Whether it's your savory snacks like potato chips, or the extruded snacks, or whether it's the candy stuff like the chocolates and the other sugar-filled candy bars, all of it has refined carbs and sugar, right? And they are incredibly bad, like this amount of refined carbs and sugar, because they spike your glucose and they raise the insulin levels again and again, and they cause insulin resistance, and they also promote fat accumulation. They're incredibly bad for your metabolic health. And I'm someone who believes that generally the key to metabolic health and the key to ensuring harmony within your gut and within your digestive system is to slowly and steadily cut down the amount of sugar and carbs that you're taking on a day-to-day basis. So one of the things that we realized when we looked at the snack shelf was that there's literally nothing that is low carb other than dark chocolate. Right? So something that a diabetic person could have in a responsible manner. Even the protein bars that claim to be healthy tend to have a lot of carbohydrates and sugar. So they're either filled with maltodextrin or they're filled with sugar, whether it's date sugar or simple sugar or whatever. So we set out to correct this problem. And I'm quite pleased that I think within the next 2 to 3 months, we'll be launching a suite of products under the brand name called Go Earnest. So Earnest being you know, you've got to get healthy, go earnest. It's that spin. So under the brand called Go Earnest, we'll be launching these suite of products that'll be attacking this very problem. And they'll be low carbohydrate and high protein snacks. And they will be largely based on the nuts that we find, because nuts tend to be the vegetarian superfood. So you're going to have flavors ranging from almond chocolate, almond banana, to cashew orange, cashew mango, walnut mixed berry, and so on and so forth.
Absolutely. No, Akshat, finally, you are a profitable company with 100 crore plus revenue. Any plans to raise an institutional round of funding, or any plans to get listed? What's happening on that front, Akshat?
So, I mean, it's impossible to plan for these things, particularly the IPO, because I think you need to be of a substantial scale, probably about at least five times the size that we currently are.
But you need capital to scale. So aren't you raising capital?
Yes. So yeah, but as far as private capital is concerned, and venture capital, seed capital, private capital is concerned, I mean, that is something we are very keen on, especially to support us with our business to consumer brand launch, the Go Earnest launch. So that is something we are very keen on. It's something we will be hunting for once the launch is clear, because we want to get something out in the market and only then start talking to consumers, because the resources that we have currently, that's enough to get the initial launch through, right? We're not a complete, like, we're not starting from scratch. NewFlyer is already at a substantial milestone. So we want to start things over with a B2C vertical and then see where that takes us and then raise money on that. Because generally what I've seen is to build a brand, it requires substantial amounts of capital. In India, the B2C space has been pretty competitive in the past 5-6 years with the launch of these direct-to-consumer brands with QuickCom, Ecom, all of that drastically reducing the entry barriers for startups to enter. So yeah, we'll be needing quite a lot of resources. But I also think we have the right product. Like, we're not doing a Me Too product. We're doing something that is solving a real problem. We're doing something that is very different, very tasty, very unique. And we're doing something that is genuinely healthy. And we're doing something that I believe is at the right price point. I think it's a complete package.
Absolutely. Very well said, Akshat. And wish you all the best on your fundraising plans and also about the new suite of products you're bringing out. Thank you so much for sharing your deep insights and perspectives on a range of issues. Thanks for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Gaurav. Glad to be here.